And hello out there, folks, in virtual broadcasting country. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, broadcasting at WWGH1071.com. And the one is for the number one talk radio facility in the entire universe. And in the next 42 minutes or so, we're going to show you exactly why. We get together every Monday Eastern Time about 9:14 to 10, and Wednesday and Thursday about 12:14 to 1 Eastern Time. And I present you the Progressive Professor, my brother in broadcasting, microphone mate, and all-around super cool dude, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, where L stands for lots of presidential knowledge trivia and useless information, and of course also stands for laughs. The election has come and gone, Ron. Halloween has come and gone. They kind of go together, I think, and we are full board into Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, and Kwanzaa, and Kwanzaa Kamis, and Festivus, as they say on Seinfeld. And this will be a festive show as we discuss the election. Of course, a few surprises, a few no surprises, and lots of accusations on both sides. How are you today during our first show of the month of November?
I'm doing fine, and I'm delighted by the result.
Well, that's good to hear.
And it might gain a seat in Georgia. And the House, there's a chance the Democrats can keep control. This is historic. It has not happened. It's only happened three times before this that the party in the White House actually did well in a midterm election.
Yeah, I mean, a mixed bag. Now, if you look at the Ohio results, you would say, well, I don't think the Democrats...
I'm disappointed, personally. I was a big Tim Ryan fan, yeah.
Yeah, and Ryan didn't lose by very much. It was expected to be close, but J.D. standing for just did win the election. Scott Schertzer, a good campaign to follow in Mary Ellen Withrow's footsteps as a treasurer of Ohio from Marion, was defeated, but again, wasn't a bad margin.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Scott was not as well known of a candidate, and we've not heard the last of him. So a spirited campaign for sure. And no surprise at all, Mike DeWine is once again the governor. And Dan Whaley will go back to the gem city of Dayton and be the mayor of that fine town,
I guess her election wasn't up for mayor, so she could stay on as mayor, right?
Yes, I do believe that Nan Whaley will remain as mayor of the fine Western Ohio city of Dayton. And Scott Schertzer remains the mayor of the fine North Central city of Marion. And Mike DeWine gets another term as the governor. So on J.D. Vance becoming our Republican Senate in the U.S.
Yeah, I was disappointed in Ohio and also, obviously, in my state of Florida. I really feel it's tragic.
One thing we've talked about, Ron, and this has come up, especially among Republicans, that Congress is getting older and older. Now, I know you don't like J.D. Vance, and I can't say that I'm, you know, ready to join his fan club. There are things that he stands for that I like. He is an outsider. A bit like your governor, a young whippersnapper, was well-educated, been successful in his adult life, just some of his
But they're
views.
Both arrogant. That's a big problem.
They got the arrogance going on. But like your governor, I mean, I'm not talking about issues. He's young. In fact, J.D. Vance is 39. He looks a little older with the beard and, you know, his authoritative nature. But he's a fairly, you know, for a congressman, he's very young. He's one of the youngest senators in office, will be, I believe. So we do know that Congress is getting older, but again, not unlike your governor, who's in his 40s. Ohio's new senator is not quite at his 40s.
He's 38. I looked it up. Yeah. I thought he was 36.
Not quite. He does seem older. I mean, gosh, he's 20 years younger than I am. I would say I probably look younger.
He's a man of no principles. He was condemnatory of Trump in 16, and then he turns around, and even Trump used the term that he was willing to kiss my A. I'm not going to say the word on the radio. And so I think he looks down on J.D. Vance as a suck-up kind of person.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
It's a strange and unusual relationship, just like the words exchanged between Donald and Mr. DeSantis. But, you know.
Notice DeSantis is not saying anything in response to all the attacks by Trump. I think that's smart on his part. He's ignoring him. He's not saying anything.
Again, I'm not saying you like DeSantis, you like Vance, but you do like the fact that they are younger when, especially among Republicans, Congress is getting older and older, and these guys are...
Okay, well, let me talk about the age. Wes Moore, the African-American future governor of Maryland, is only in his 40s. I think he's great, and I'm very inspired by him, and I see him as the potential in the future, not now, a Barack Obama in maybe 8 years. I could see him. He is really great. And also, Josh Shapiro, the Jewish governor, future governor of Pennsylvania, is 49. He's also inspirational. I'm very excited about both of them. I think they have a future nationally, not now, but in the future.
Yeah, Pennsylvania been in the news quite a bit, and it's a state near Ohio, so we certainly pay attention to it. One state to our north, Michigan, Governor Gretchen appears to have retained her office.
All the Democrats, including the state legislature, for the first time in 40 years, is Democratic. What a massive victory, including all of these state office holders, all female, that all were reelected. It's an amazing victory, and that puts her into the limelight. Also for the future, not now, but for the future.
Now, in terms of J.D. Vance, again, not looking at his viewpoints, because we know what you think about them, and again, although there are things about him that I certainly like, and I admire his intelligence, and that he's self-made, and he's done a lot, not even at 40, there are certainly views of his that I'm hardly a fan of. But do you like the fact that he is young? He's, you know, half the age of Trump, which is kind of fascinating. Like Trump, he's an outsider. It's his first elected office, and it's a high office, a U.S. senator. I mean, not as high as president, but it's certainly up there. And those are some parallels with Trump. And I would say Vance would defeat Trump in an IQ test. He's certainly better spoken.
Easily, yes.
Yeah, presents himself well. But, you know, again, viewpoints aside, Ron, you do like the fact that along with your governor, DeSantis, they are young and very smart, well-educated, and they're self-made.
Well, not Rubio. I don't think Rubio's very smart. He's also about 50. He's pretty young, yeah. But Rubio, that was really a shame. Val Demings would have been a really outstanding senator. And one thing I want to say, I'm not saying it's definitely the case, but I had written about the people running for office in four states that were African-Americans that were really quite interesting. Val Demings in Florida, Charles Booker in Kentucky, Mandela Barnes in Wisconsin, and Sherry Beasley in North Carolina. And I was hoping at least one of them would get elected, but all four were defeated. And I just wonder if the race issue is a factor, that if they were white, any of them, would they have been elected? I just wonder. I don't know. But it's disturbing that not one of them got elected. Really, I thought at least one. I really was hoping for Mandela Barnes, because Ron Johnson is a horror. But there he is, a third term. You know, it's just terrible.
But I don't think he'll be president, because we've already had two presidents Johnson. No presidents Smith.
No, he's horrendous. And the thing is, he'd be Russ Feingold back in 10 and 16. I loved Russ Feingold. He was great. And so I think at this time he'll be defeated by Mandela Barnes, who's only 35. Would have been inspirational, but it didn't happen. But at least Wes Moore did get elected governor of Maryland, and he really is inspirational. Not just because of his race, but he just is. If you watch him, he's very exciting. He reminds me of Obama in a lot of ways. You know, he really does.
And apparently Dr. Mehmet Oz will be going back to his TV program.
Oh, good riddance. Oh, my God. What a horror. What a phony also, I have to say. You know, that's the thing. The Republican candidates who are backed by Trump were just not good, and that's why they lost. And all the election deniers for the state offices, not for the House and Senate, no, they got elected. But the ones who make policy on the state level, secretaries of state, attorneys general, and governors, they all lost, except Arizona is still open at this point. But I think Carrie Lake, she's losing, and I think she will lose, thank goodness, to Katie Hobbs. She is an absolute monster. I think she's just disgraceful, you know. But the others, like Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania, certainly lost. What's the other state? For a moment, I can't think of it. But the point is, you know, they all did terribly. Tudor Dixon in Michigan, she also lost. So I'm glad of that. At least the administrators who make state policy all have lost the election deniers. But in the House, there's about 170 people in the House who are election deniers, all Republicans. So it really makes the Republican Party disgraceful in Congress right now.
Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, talking with Dr. Ronald L. Fineman about the election and politics and 2024 presidential election. And L, of course, stands for lots of laughter. So be sure to giggle at least every 54 seconds. locally, Ron, the fire levee in Marion Pass, the fire station, it's actually very close to the radio station location, so it certainly is near and dear to me and other people at the station, and near and dear to the landlord at the facility, who I believe looks a lot like myself. But anyway, that fire station is definitely antiquated, and with the fire levee passing, there will be a major upgrade. And so,
that's great. That's good.
That's a levee that no one likes taxes to be increased, but it was necessary, and I think the right thing was done. Most of the school levies were passed. That's often the case, and despite the economy, inflation, people still tend to vote for school levies. I'm not sure what the situation was like there in Florida, but the people always put a priority on the schools, along with police and fire. Is that something, Ron, you think where people are going to vote for regardless of their situation or inflation?
I would hope so, but the image is senior citizens don't care because they don't have little kids. But I don't know. I think generally education is always something that should be backed. But it's not always true in Florida, I have to admit. Florida, you got to remember, a lot of people come here who have wealth and they don't want to pay any taxes, and they're retiring here, or they can actually move here and still keep their job because of what happened with the pandemic. And so they tend to be cheap. So the state of Florida is extremely red, and it's very disturbing because it used to be a swing state, and I don't know if it ever will be in my lifetime now. It's really sad.
Like, the concern I have is, sure, everybody wants good schools. That brings up property values and keeps the youth off of drugs and in school learning and becoming productive members of society. I don't know anybody who's not in favor
of education
that.
Standards have really gone downhill in the pandemic. The average kid doesn't know anything anymore at a certain age. It's terrible.
But are the districts using the money properly? Do they get more money and they waste more money?
There seems to be problems down here in South Florida sometimes with corruption. Florida is a state that has, not saying Ohio doesn't, I know you have some cases there, but Florida seems to have a lot of corruption, particularly in Miami-Dade. There's something about Miami-Dade, which is not my county, but they have an awful lot of troubles, and Broward County does also. And of course, Miami-Dade, the Hispanic community, 70%, all the Hispanic groups, and they voted for DeSantis. This is quite an amazing thing, because it always was a blue county, but now it's a red county.
I mean, with me, Ron, I trust the fire department, certainly. I
can't
see myself ever voting against a fire levy if it's specifically for the fire department. We also have issues where our city council gets money available, and is it being used properly? Are they corrupt? And, well, in many cases, they are. In fact, in many cases, I'm pretty sure, I'm confident that they are. And with the school district, how do we know the money is going where it's supposed to? How do we know that it's being used efficiently? And
it's a problem. It is a problem in Florida, I know, and I'm sure in many other states, but it's hard to vote against it. That's the whole thing.
But I do think, and I believe our listeners locally will concur, the fire levy in Marion was necessary. It will be going exactly toward the intended purpose. And Marion, along with having some of the best police and sheriff departments around, will have an even better fire department. It's great now, but there are limitations with the facility. And this levy will take care of that problem, and we will really be shining in the area of safety and people's ability to live securely in their city. And so we do congratulate the fire department for letting people know the necessity of this, and thank the voters for voting for it. And it's money well spent, and I do think it will help Marion in innumerable ways, but you just never know sometimes about where the money is going. So many times I think you'd agree, Ron, people go in the voting booth and they're not quite sure what it is that they're voting on. They just see, 1.7 mil levy. Well, there's more money out of my pocket. But if it's obvious, if it's explained properly and truthfully and professionally, then the decision's pretty obvious.
Yes. I am impressed, however, that across the country, voters really did give attention to the issue of abortion rights and also the question of democracy, even though there are problems with the economy. But I think they really showed their intelligence, and it's a big surprise because people were thinking, all they were thinking about was just the issue of the economy. But they weren't, and that's why we have for the Democrats, a great victory that they actually have gained a seat, and that in the House they may lose it, but and you know, there was only a small margin that they were ahead, but they're not going to be many seats gained by the Republicans. They might have a small margin, but I mean, it really is a rebuke to the Republican Party, this election, and to Donald Trump.
I know many people said, I'm sure you heard this, these would be people who are strictly to the right. You know me, I'm independent, and it's kind of hard to know where I stand, but folks know my politics are consistent with the old school liberal Republicans, examples being Betty Ford and
John Anderson.
Yeah, and the other first lady, Barbara Bush, of course. Grandma Barb.
Yeah.
We love Grandma Barb. Because we've often, even Laura Bush, we found first ladies just being to the left on many issues, and abortion often being that particular issue of their husbands. And also,
even Nancy Reagan was sure.
Yeah.
Turns out we didn't know it at the time, but she was, you know.
She certainly liberalized views in time, the stem cells, but was that because Reagan, her husband, was suffering from Alzheimer's? Was that the reason?
It's part of it, but also Reagan was once pro-choice when he was governor, and then he switched around because of the evangelical right.
Yeah,
people, you know, that's the whole thing.
People
it was
do
all
change.
Political game for him.
Yeah, so
he didn't show great principle on that.
Yeah,
unfortunately, but he got the support that way.
But sometimes, if something hits close to home, you look at your view and say, "Well, you know, I'm human. Maybe I should adjust it." Rob Portman being an example. He found out his son was gay.
Yes, with his son gay, suddenly he was out for gay marriage and gay rights.
And
that's right.
And I don't see a problem with that.
Sometimes a lot of gay people got elected across the country in different positions.
Yeah.
And in fact, in Nassau County, Long Island, there were two House seats, and they were both won by new people, both gay men. I couldn't believe it. And in the one case, you know, the person that won, the person who lost, the Democrat, was also a gay male. So I was really amazed by that. And that's just Long Island, New York. So there are a lot of gay people at different levels, you know, that have been elected. And I think it's really great. It really is.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, it has to hit home. And I don't really see a problem with that, because if something is near and dear to you, you put more heart and soul into it. And you also take a look at the stand of your party, and maybe they're not right. And that's one reason why I don't believe in parties. You know, why should I say, okay, well, Republicans believe this, Democrats believe this. But again, at one time, there wasn't all this divisiveness. There were Republicans who were every bit as pro-choice as I am. But also, like I am, conservative fiscally, strict about illegal immigration and some of the things that remain with the Republican Party. But now it's a case where, depending on the issue, I'm going to have conservatives or liberals say they disagree. But I think there are more people that have independent type views than I think there are. I certainly meet a lot of them online, but of course you tend to gravitate toward your own kind anyway. And the whole mentality of libertarian, which kind of fits me, that allows for differences in viewpoints. But the concept being, we have liberties as Americans. It's okay to do your own thing, but do it responsibly, and you know, keep your laws off my body, which to me applies to many things. And seems
well,
like
definitely abortion rights gained a lot by this election, and gay rights also did. And of course, most Republicans are not happy. That's why the Republicans are in trouble right now. They got to be careful what they plan for 2024 and beyond, because they really were repudiated. Even if they control the House, it's only barely. So it really has not been a good year for the Republican Party. And a lot of it's due to Donald Trump. And I want to just mention that there are at least now in the future two potentially gay candidates for president on the Democratic side. Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation, and Governor Jared Polis of Colorado. So that's interesting, whether they'll actually run and whatever happens. But, I mean, people can now come out and say they're gay or lesbian, like in Wisconsin. We have the one woman, I can't think of her name right now, the senator from Wisconsin, who's lesbian. And she's been there, and she gets reelected, so that's a good sign.
And we have Massachusetts, Maura Tracy Healy, age 51, lesbian, and the governor-elect of the state of Massachusetts, assuming office on 1/5/23. So don't know.
Yeah, I wanted to mention Tammy Baldwin is the senator from Wisconsin who's lesbian, and she keeps on getting reelected. Tammy Baldwin. I think it's great. It really is. You know, people should not be judged by their race, their ethnicity, their religion, or their sexual orientation. It should be judged We have future potential Jewish candidates, African-American candidates, Hispanic candidates, gay candidates. It's great. More on the Democratic side, though. The Republican side still is very uptight, pretty much.
Don't know too much about Maura Healey, but she has a pretty good resume. She went to Harvard. Domestic partner, Gabrielle R. Wolohojian. That's a good name. That would be a great name, I think, for a first lady, Gabrielle R. Wolohojian.
I wanted to mention this. One African-American, he's thinking of running for president, Tim Scott of South Carolina. And I think he's someone, I wouldn't vote for him, but he's actually quite an interesting person. He's been in the Senate for about 8-9 years, and he's actually making it clear he's planning to announce for president. So he's going to challenge Trump or anybody else. Doesn't mean he's going to get the nomination, but he'll be in the race, which is, I think, a good thing.
And Governor Healey's domestic partner is a judge who serves as an associate justice of the Massachusetts Appeals Court, age 61. Went to Rutgers, same place my dad went. And University of Oxford, I guess the one in England. And
yes.
Columbia Law School.
Wow, what credentials.
I wouldn't want to play that couple on Jeopardy. I wouldn't want to get into a debate with those two well-educated, intelligent ladies, and I think rising stars will...
The only thing is some of the people go to Harvard, Yale, and places like that turn out to be very narrow-minded, like Ted Cruz, for example. He actually had Elizabeth Warren as a professor years ago. Can you believe that?
Well, that would be an odd couple, wouldn't it?
He was in her class. It didn't impress him, I guess, though.
Talking to Dr. Ronald Fineman here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, Adam Lepp, giggling a lot and talking about the recent election results. Yeah, Jared Polis, well-known governor of Colorado.
The congressman, now governor, second term, yes.
Yeah, you want my opinion. He's a more likely presidential candidate than Buttigieg. I think Buttigieg is...
Why do you think that? Because
I don't think he's as liberal. Again, I'm not saying I'm an expert on either. He doesn't seem as...
I sort of think of Buttigieg as moderate. I never thought of him as being that liberal. He's
divisive, and
I don't know.
You know, there were concerns about his tenure as mayor in South Bend, whereas Polis appears to have been a very successful Colorado governor in a state that's...
What to say? Look, all I know is there's going to be... Joe Biden chooses not to run, it's going to be a wild election, because I still think there'll be 20 people or more on each side running, you know, if it's totally open, or Trump doesn't run, or if he can't run, or whatever. It's going to be interesting. It's an awful lot of potential, but a lot of them won't go very far, but there's going to be an awful lot of people that are going to announce. That's the point.
Yeah, I see a bit of a circus on the way, but is that any different than most of the recent elections?
Yeah, there's just an article I saw that said Biden's always been underrated, and in a way it's true, considering everything. Who would have thought that after 2 years he would have a Democratic Senate, and possibly, or if not so, but possibly a Democratic House, and that actually he's accomplished a lot, although a lot of it came in the last few months, but he actually is always underrated and overlooked and made fun of, but he always seems to come out looking better as you look at him. He's got his faults, they all do, but I think he really looks pretty good considering what's just happened.
Ron's the author of the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. We encourage you to read it daily, even if you don't agree with what he has to say. If you want to throw a rotten egg at it, well, that's fine. It's your computer, your phone, right? It's about a 1 to 2 minute read per day, and always fascinating tidbits and trivia and factoids. Ron, we were talking earlier, there's a 25-year-old person who won an office. Tell us about that, and, you know, goodness sakes.
Generation Z, we have a 25-year-old Afro-Cuban young man, 25, who's elected from Orlando, Florida. His name is Maxwell Alejandro Flores, what a name, and he is close to being the youngest. Well, there's been a few 25-year-olds in the House in history, but not very many. Now, actually, I looked him up. His birthday is January 17th. He'll be sworn in on January 3rd, so actually he's 2 weeks short of 26, you look, he's not really 25 except for a couple of weeks as far as in office, but the point is he is 25. He got elected. He's the youngest member, and there's very, very few people get elected at 25, but at the same time, there were two Republicans, one Action Generation Z, Carolyn Leavitt or Leavitt in New Hampshire, who had worked for Donald Trump and worked for the House of Representatives, and she's also 25. I don't know when her birth date is. She might be younger than Frost, but she lost her race. And then there's a 27-year-old, Bo Hines, not technically Generation Z because he was born in 1995, and Generation Z starts in 1996 or 7. So it depends how you look at it. But Bo Hines also lost, but he was being compared to Madison Cawthorn because it was a different district in North Carolina, but it was a district in the same state as Madison Cawthorn, who's not coming back. And so it's interesting. The two Republicans lost, but Maxwell Frost did win in a state where there's only 8 Democrats in the House and 20 now Republicans. So it's going to be interesting to follow him.
So at least some of the younger people, we mentioned Vance, and he does seem older, but he's just in his late 30s. And your governor, Ron DeSantis, mid-40s, I believe, with extensive education. I mean, love or...
44 years old, actually, yes.
Yeah, love or hate these people. The diversity in ages and viewpoints, that's what America's all about, balanced by our president, almost 80, and House Speaker in her early 80s. But I think different viewpoints, again, people of different races, men, women, Southerners, Northerners, Westerners, younger and older, shapes the country and provides us with the diversity that America is built upon and is certainly proud of and thrives on. You mentioned there's a Generation Z person, Ron, who won election, someone in his mid-20s. Tell us about that.
Okay, he's from Orlando, Florida. His name is Maxwell Alejandro Frost, and he'll be almost 26 when he takes the oath. It'll be, he's 2 weeks short of his 26th birthday, but he's 25 now. And it's very rare to find someone who's 25 who makes it into the House of Representatives. Only a small handful ever have. However, at the same time, there was another Generation Z. I don't know whether she was born earlier than him and whether she's closer to early 25 or late 25. But Carolyn Leavitt, or Leavitt, in New Hampshire, who had worked for Donald Trump and had worked for the Republican Party in the House, was defeated in New Hampshire. So she was another Generation Z, but she's not going to be in the House. And then there's Bo Hines, who's 27, technically not part of Generation Z because he's born in 1995. But the point is he lost, but he's been compared when he was running to Madison Cawthorn, a different district, who lost his primary, is not coming back, who is just 27. So we have, again, all these people have lost, including Madison after one term has lost. So the only one is this Democrat, Maxwell Alejandro Frost, who's an Afro-Cuban, and very interesting, so we'll have to see how it works out for him.
Ron's the author, again, of the blog theprogressiveprofessor.com, and last Veterans Day, he wrote, loss of some outstanding Democrats in midterm elections. We touched on this earlier. Gubernatorial candidates, Charlie Crist in Florida, Stacey Abrams in Georgia, the aforementioned Nan Whaley in Ohio, and Beto O'Rourke in Texas. And senatorial nominees, Tim Ryan here in the Buckeye State, Sherry Beasley in North Carolina, Charles, don't call me Cory Booker, in Kentucky, Mandela
yes.
Barnes
not related,
in
yeah.
Wisconsin, Michael, don't call me Al Franken in Iowa, and Val, don't call me Harper Demings in Florida.
Yeah, by the way, I cannot believe that Chuck Grassley at 89 was elected again for 6 more years in Iowa. That's really getting, he's going to be 95. Now, he may be fine, he is now, but I think that's crazy that someone will be there till he's 95, but he got elected again.
Would that make him
Michael Franken, who was in the military. I thought he would beat him, but he didn't do it.
I mean, Claude Pepper was older, but this... Grassley would
Claude Pepper was 89 when he died, so he wasn't in his, but he died in office, But here he's being elected again at age 89 for another 6 years, and if he's going to be one of the oldest people ever to serve in Congress. The only others that would be in the 90s would be Strom Thurmond, of course, who states he was 100, and also Robert Byrd was in his early 90s, and he died. And also in Hawaii, Daniel Inouye was in his early 90s. But I don't know, this man seems fine. He seems in better shape, certainly, than most people would think he would be in 89, and he still does exercise every day and all that. But I just think it's crazy. But I would chose to do it, so he's there again.
So Chuck Grassley is a young 89.
Term.
Yeah, young 89. Well, that's, I mean, yeah, just a number, and if he's a healthy 89... no reason why he can't be in office. Certainly he's has wisdom of an older man.
Yes, compared to Dianne Feinstein, who's got 2 more years, and she seems out of it most of the time. She really should resign. Maybe she will, but she hasn't yet. She's 89, and she's confused a lot of the time. She doesn't know what she's hearing or doesn't know what people are saying to her. It's a shame. She ran in 85. She should not have run, but she's got 2 more years to go.
You wrote also in your blog earlier in the month, any concern about the Democratic Party is gone. Joe Biden has become president as once Joe Biden has become president for a second term or decides not to run. There are a bunch of fantastic governors who care about public health and safety and who are compassionate and empathetic human beings. I won't discuss if I agree with that last sentence or clause, but we'll go through the list. As you remember, this show is a non-mask, non-COVID zone, and we have agreed, you know, to a agree to disagree. We have Gretchen, Governor Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan, and to the east, Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, 2 states to the northwest and west, J.B. Pritzker, and in the heartland, Laura Kelly, previously discussed, Wes Moore and Jared Polis. Now, would we agree, Ron? I think of all those, I really think Polis might be the one most likely to become a president or vice president.
It's over for 24 or later. You're talking about
24 or beyond.
Well, I think it's beyond 24. I think Shapiro and Whitmer and Moore. Those are the ones I find the most interesting. Laura Kelly is amazing. She won again in Kansas. And by the way, that reminds me, Kentucky was another state that voted now to allow abortion rights, like Kansas had back in the summer. So it shows you how the Supreme Court is totally off base in what they did. But anyway, Laura Kelly got elected again, but you know, but I don't think she's presidential material necessarily. But I think Moore, Whitmer, and Shapiro, not so much Pritzker, though he's got loads of money. He's very wealthy. He owns a hotel, one of the more expensive hotel chains. And Gavin Newsom, you can't ignore, but you know, he's divisive because he's seen as too liberal by many. I don't know, Jared Polis, I think, will be in the race, but being gay is still going to be a national issue, not so much on the state level, but I think it's going to become a lot of hate troubles with him or with Pete Buttigieg. That's the only thing I'm concerned about.
One thing that's fascinating, when I went to school, Ron, and you know, I've always been interested in the presidents, as you have been, we learned that there are requirements to be president. You must be 35, natural born citizen, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And then there are the unwritten requirements. Now, in the last two presidencies, two out of the three presidencies, but honestly, I'd say 3 out of 3, including the fact that Donald Trump had never held political office or been in the military. Eisenhower was in the military, was not a politician previously.
Well, Wendell Willkie in 1940 was earlier Donald Trump. He had never held public office, but he lost, of course, to FDR.
Of course.
Yes.
So those rules, we've seen 3 in a row, to me, where the unwritten rules being straight, white, of the male persuasion, and some kind of political experience. Previously, it had been Protestant, but that was broken with President Kennedy and
Biden, both Catholic.
Right.
Yeah.
Although I would say,
by the way, I must say DeSantis is Catholic also.
But I would say Biden isn't very religious, whereas Kennedy, the religion was well known.
Same with Pelosi; they're Catholics, but they are open minded. They don't follow the Catholic Church or
right.
anything.
And so, is it a case? And we have a female mixed race vice president, but the race barrier was previously broken with Obama.
Yes.
So this is just because you know how much I like demographics and the whole concept of the presidency, and I'm not afraid. You know, I don't believe in this woke concept. I'm not afraid to talk about race and people's demographic. It's part of what
yeah.
makes us great, and it is fascinating with presidents that we've broken those unwritten rules 3 in a row, and the race barrier was broken with Obama. It was essentially, he's mixed race or he's black, but certainly he's not white, and we have we have Kamala, a mixed race, and of course of the female persuasion.
Yes.
And Biden, again, not very religious, but identifying as Catholic. So,
but actually, you know, Biden was anti-abortion years ago. He did switch, so it happens a lot. People have switched.
Yeah, I guess he and Reagan traded places or something.
But, yes. A lot of people changed places. If you look at their backgrounds, it's hard to believe how they changed so much. Yes.
Yeah, just thinking about this, Ron, maybe should our next, because we have J.B. Pritzker, I believe he's white, Gavin Newsom, white.
Yes. And he's Jewish too, J.B. Pritzker, by the way.
Okay, so he's not very religious, but he does identify definitely as being Jewish rather than.
Well, one thing I wanted to say, I don't know what he looks like. He reminds you a little of Chris Christie. He's pretty heavy.
Yeah. But what I'm getting at is, are we going to break another one of those unwritten rules with our next president? Honestly, I didn't look it up. I didn't know Pritzker was Jewish, but that answers that question. Wes Moore is black. Gretchen Whitmer, of course, is a female. Josh Shapiro, I assume, is Jewish.
Definitely. Shapiro is always Jewish.
Yeah. Gavin Newsom, now being from California, a big state.
And formerly married to the girlfriend or the fiance of Donald Trump Jr.
Right. So,
is that crazy?
You think that the idea would be that our next president would also break one of those unwritten rules? Again, being gay, being a girl.
Or being Jewish.
Being Jewish.
Female, don't say girl. Well, I would like to. I think it'd be great. I would love a ticket of some of these people. Like, I would not mind if we had Josh Shapiro and Wes Moore on the same ticket.
It's just fascinating that we have a black person who would not have broken that unwritten rule, because we've had a black president and a female. Yeah. Well, we had a female vice president, but that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Jewish to me isn't really a big step, and we also have Bernie Sanders, who again Jewish but not very religious, and you know he's.
I didn't get elected. That's the
difference. He may run again. Who knows? He's.
Come on! He's older than Joe Biden. By the way, Joe Biden will be 80 next Sunday, the 20th of November. Can you imagine that?
Not as old as Grassley though. So.
But no,
do you see that, Ron, as a case where we might break another one of those unwritten rules in 24? And it might be what I would call, a gay president is a much bigger step than a Jewish president. And
oh, yes, but I don't see Jared Polis or Pete Buttigieg being president in 2 years.
Right.
But I'll be honest, one thing I'll say, when anyone 2 years before the election says, oh, someone's a front runner, people don't realize that 2 years before 2008, the Republican Party, who was the front runner? Rudy Giuliani. Can you believe that?
Right, and I guess...
I don't think Ron DeSantis is guaranteed anything as far as even being the nominee. He may seem to be the front runner now, but I don't think it's a guarantee, is all I'm saying.
And looking at Democratic nominees, looking at that list, Newsom, Pritzker, Shapiro, Whitmer, Moore, Polis, Kelly. To me, Polis, and let's add Pritzker, because Pritzker, being Jewish, although not very religious, but certainly identifying as Jewish, would break one of those unwritten rules. But it wouldn't be as big of a rule as having a gay president.
But Polis or Buttigieg,
but we shall see. So, if you want an early prediction, again, I believe DeSantis will be our next president. I believe Donald Trump will try to be our next president. He might win. I mean, who knows? But he'll certainly get his votes.
I'll just go back, as I told my students, and say, in 1966, if somebody said, Richard Nixon's going to win in 2 years after he lost 6 years earlier, oh, no, no way. And 74, Jimmy Carter? Who the hell is Jimmy Carter? And 78, Reagan? Yeah, he's old. He tried against Ford 2 years ago. Nah, he's not going to do it. And then Clinton, 2 years before, with all his sex scandals and stuff? Nah, no chance. And then even Bush Jr., to think that he would be able to do. Nah, he's not. You're not gonna have the son of a president win. And then, of course, Obama in 06. Who would have thought that? Or Trump in 14. Or even Joe Biden in 18. Who would have thought it?
Yeah,
so
the whole
I'm telling
thing
you,
is,
probably
is,
somebody we're not thinking of.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, could we see Pritzker and Polis being on the ticket? That we.
That would be amazing.
I mean, we have the person with an unwritten rule, and a major unwritten rule, being vice president, like we have a female of mixed race now being vice president. We have two of those unwritten rules being broken, but it's by the vice president. Whereas for Republican, as I've said before, DeSantis and Haley being female, and young like DeSantis and of mixed race. That would be an interesting contest, certainly. But I would say that regardless of who is our elected president in 2024, it will not be two white, straight Protestant men. I think we can pretty much agree on that, that we're going to continue with having presidents and vice presidents who do not fit these unwritten rules that Ron and I and others learned in school about the president. And that's good. I'm glad we have a female mixed race VP. I just don't like this particular one, but I'm glad we have a person who's not a straight white Protestant, because that's not reflective of the country as a whole. So that's something we can all very much agree on. So just a few minutes left on the program, Ron. You've had a lot of blog entries about election deniers. And
yes,
you are focusing, among others, on J.D. Vance here in Ohio, our new senator. So, again, he's an outsider, hasn't had office. He's been a successful businessman, a smart guy, well-spoken, good authoritative presence, which we like. And he's young, he seems older, but he's not even 40. What's the deal with him?
He has a beard, that's why.
And being an election denier, what's the deal with that?
Well, he tries to claim that he doesn't believe Joe Biden won the 2020 election. And these people, I think so many of them lost, not necessarily all for the Congress, but as far as the state office holders, like Attorney General, Governor, et cetera, they all lost, or so far Carrie Lake hasn't. And I think it's a losing cause. They're going to have to back away from that, but they haven't yet. And may I just interrupt to say, Jared Polis looked up, his parents were founders of greeting card and book publisher Blue Mountain Arts. How's that?
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
That's interesting. I just looked it up now,
Yeah.
And I gather he might be of Jewish heritage, because his partner is at least Jewish, and he married at a synagogue. So I'm not sure. His name is S-C-H-U-T-Z, Schultz, or without the L. It doesn't actually say he's Jewish, but he might be. It's not clear to me. But at least his partner is Jewish.
Yeah, that could be.
I'm just mentioning this as I look it up on Wikipedia.
That could be of German-Jewish origin. But either way, I like the idea, regardless of whether or not I like the people, that we are moving away from the president following all these unwritten rules. Because this was just a fascinating point. And I think you'd agree, Ron, that you and I both studied in school. Me being born just after the Kennedy assassination, we had a Catholic president. And it's like, and I bring this up again. My famous question that I asked the late, great Dr. Joyce Brothers when she spoke at my college, when do you think we'll have a female president or vice president? And, I think we've discussed this before. And she said, in our children's lifetime. And I'm still around. But Dr. Joyce Brothers did pass away before our female vice president. So
what does Dr. Ruth have to say about this, I wonder? She's in her mid-90s.
Yeah, in her children's lifetime. So, she was pretty much spot on, and got to respect somebody like that. But either way.
You had Ruth Westheimer on your station, haven't you?
I'm sorry?
You've had Ruth Westheimer, not you, but I think Scott has had Ruth Westheimer on, right?
Oh, yes, Dr. Ruth. She's on all the time, Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
She's like 95 years old now. I wonder what she would say about this issue if she was asked.
She is a fascinating person. I make sure that I cancel all my other plans when she's on, because I love I love Dr. Ruth. She's.
One other thing before we go. Scott ever interviewed Henry Kissinger?
I don't believe so. I think I asked him.
It'll be 100 next May. Can you believe that? He should be on the station.
I have challenged him to interview the man I call Chucky Baby, that is King Charles. So we'll see if that happens.
But really, I think Henry Kissinger should be on. But one thing you cannot ask him is anything about Chile and the loss of the democracy there because of Nixon and Kissinger. He'll hang up on you if you do. But it'd be interesting to get him on, because he's still fine and he's almost 100 years old.
Do thank you, Dr. Ron Fineman, for being here with me. Adam, always a good time. Always lots of laughs, and you always learn something. And, we tell it like it is on this program. Be sure to visit theprogressiveprofessor.com and check out Ron's articles on the History News Network and other places where his fine words written and spoken can be found. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place. WWGH Radio.